This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Fox News Channel has called him America's favorite political scientist. The Wall Street Journal says he is probably the most quoted college professor in the land. He is director of the University of Virginia Center for Politics, online at centerforpolitics.org, the Robert Kent Gooch Professor of Politics at the University of Virginia, the one, the only, Larry Sabato, joins me live on the long line. How are you, sir?
Hey, doing well, Coy. How are you?
Very good. Enjoying some blue skies, finally. It's gorgeous.
We don't have to build an ark, after all.
Larry, I had the great honor of being of sharing the bill with you, sharing the stage. I was your opening act last week at Alumni Hall. We had a few hundred folks out, alumni of the university, at the beautiful facility over there on Emmett Street, Alumni Hall. And the folks there did a terrific job with that that event, and I was so honored to speak with you. And I tell you, I was just mesmerized by what you had to say. And right then and there, I said, you got to come on my program and talk about this. So tell us now your observations about the most recent election, how things have changed, and what is so critical about these changes that Republicans in particular need to be aware of.
Well, of course, that's a giant topic, and I've got a new book out, The Year of Obama, which covers a good bit of this. You know, there are elections, and then there are elections. Some elections don't matter very much. They really don't change anything fundamental, and they're quickly forgotten, and frankly, even most presidential elections fall into that category. Every now and then, you have a watershed election. 1932 certainly fell into that category. 1980, when Ronald Reagan won, fell into that category. I think 2008 is another one. And there are always lessons both sides should learn from a watershed election. One side's happy, the other side isn't, but a watershed election suggests the new trends in politics that are unlikely to be reversed. In 2008, it's the new alignments created by, for example, young people acquiring their partisan identification for the first time, and by 2-to-1, more than 2-to-1, they acquired a Democratic partisan ID. That's critical because most generations, not everyone, but most generations carry that party ID through their lifetimes or most of their lifetimes. They continue voting the way they did in the beginning if that original vote was intense, and I think it was for young people. They really got on the Obama bandwagon. Minorities. So look, this is a changing America. When Ronald Reagan was elected, 84% of the electorate was white. Well, in 2008, it was just a little over 70%. By 2042, a majority of Americans will be members of minority groups, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this is changing. And look, 75% of minorities, that's counting all the groups I mentioned together, 75% vote Democratic consistently. Hispanics, the fastest growing minority group, they vote Democratic now more than 2-to-1, about 67 to 31, a couple of percent for independents. So, and there are some other trends that I discuss in the year of Obama. And for Democrats, obviously the demographic trends are positive. They have to deliver. They have to deliver on the economy, and they have to not get involved in an unpopular foreign war a la Vietnam or Iraq. They have to stay out of trouble in terms of major corruption, not the minor corruption that unfortunately is a part of daily life in governments across the world. But, you know, Watergate-style corruption. They have to stay out of trouble. If they do, they have an easier time of it simply because of these demographic trends. The Republicans, to flip sides, it's clear they have to adjust to these new realities. either they attract more young people and more minorities and more people with graduate school degrees, another group that's gone heavily Democratic. They used to be heavily Republican. Now they're heavily Democratic. Why? The social issues. Republicans have to learn from that, too, because, as I like to tell people, it's important to have a vigorous two-party system. I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican or an independent. If you're honest, you will admit that if one party controls everything for a long period of time, it is just inevitable that that majority party will get arrogant and self-satisfied and corrupt. You want a two-party system that's vigorous, that can check the majority party. And we're not going to have that if Republicans don't change. They have to adapt. They don't have to abandon their principles, but they have to adapt.
We're talking with Larry Sabato of the University of Virginia, and the phone lines are open. If you've got a question, you've always had a question for Larry Sabato. I know you have. 977-1070. Now is your opportunity to pick up the phone. It's a local call, and ask Larry. This is a great opportunity. You can learn more online at LarrySabato.com. Buy his latest book, The Year of Obama. Larry, we're talking about Republicans adjusting to these changes in the country, this new, what you argue quite convincingly is a new Democratic era in the nation. All the Republicans that I have, by and large, on this program, when I ask them, what do you think the GOP needs to do, consistently I get a response, something along the lines of, we need to get back to our values, we need to return to that, you know, all the things that made us strong, we've lost our way. And by and large, they argue that the way to win is to move more to the right.
Well, I think they're dreaming. it's really that simple. I'm a pretty blunt person. If that's what they think, if they think they lost the 2008 election because they weren't conservative enough, then they have a whole series of defeats up ahead. They're going to get hit over the head with a 2x4 on election day after election day after election day. And look, this is typical in American history. Remember, Democrats got hit over the head with a 2x4 election day after election day after election day in the 60s and 70s and 80s. It takes a while for parties to adjust to a new climate or to do new demographic realities. So, you know, that's all right. That's part of the process, but I can guarantee you that's not it. And, you know, I can already see there are two elections this November, as you well know. There are two gubernatorial elections, two mayoral elections that nobody pays much attention to. But the New Jersey and Virginia races, because of local conditions, it's entirely possible. I'm not predicting it, it's too early, but it's entirely possible the Republicans are going to win both New Jersey and Virginia. And if they do, they're going to think that all they have to do is just sit there, and they're going to come back. They're going to come roaring back in 2010, just like 1994. They don't need to change a thing. They stick to their original principles. They become more conservative, and they're just wrong, because this is not 1994. 2010 isn't going to be 1994, and two elections in two states for two governorships really don't tell you anything about the future of American politics.
We're talking with Larry Sabato, the nation's preeminent political scientist, online at LarrySabato.com, and his latest book is The Year of Obama. You bring up the race here in Virginia. Handicap this for us, if you can, just your observations about what's happening on the left and the right. Terry McAuliffe, Survey USA, has him still out ahead. Cree Deeds, interestingly enough, is second and pulling closer. And also Bob McDonnell, the Republican nominee on the right.
Well, the Democratic primary will be determined after Memorial Day, because that's when the candidates are going to spend their money and attack one another, and it's when people are going to pay attention. People don't vote in June. Only the party activists, just a handful, are going to come out. And people say, gee, you know, 250,000, 300,000 people may vote. That's a lot of people. No, it isn't. There are 7.7 million people in Virginia. Go back to 1977. 1977, that was the last Democratic primary for governor. You know how many people voted in 1977 in that primary? 500,000 people. And that's when Virginia's population was less than half of what it is today. And we're going to have a turnout that's probably half of the primary turnout from 1977, when Virginia's population was half of what it is today.
Oh, my gosh.
So you're talking about a tiny group of people selecting the Democratic Party nominee. You know, it's obvious Terry McAuliffe is spending a lot more money. He's got more staff than the other two put together. If you go by the normal measure of how people win primaries, he should win the primary. He has drawbacks. He's no one knew he was from Virginia until about 8 months ago when he announced. I certainly didn't know he lived in Virginia. But this is a new Virginia. Yeah, you know, George Allen was from California. Mark Warner was from Connecticut and Indiana. Tim Kaine from Minnesota and Kansas. The only recent governor we've had who's from Virginia was Jim Gilmore. You know, I like to kid people, if you're from Virginia, you're in the only group of people not allowed to be elected governor of Virginia. So I don't know that it matters that McAuliffe is from New York and Bob McDonald, the Republican, was born in Pennsylvania.
We're talking with Larry Sabato, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. David is on line two. David, you're on with Larry Sabato. Go right ahead.
Yeah, gentlemen, good afternoon. For Larry, I've got two questions. First, he spoke earlier of social issue changes that Republicans, you know, have to be cognizant of, and I would like to know what he thinks those are. And number two, from a cost standpoint, I guess a fiscal responsibility, do Republicans need to start thinking that they need to spend more money like the Democrats in control now in Washington are, or will people eventually wake up and realize there is no sugar daddy and somebody's got to pay the bill and it's ultimately going to come back on us? So I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you.
David, thanks for the call.
Yeah, David, look, the fiscal issues will remain the Republicans' best issues. They lost that during the Bush years, as you well know, because, look, George Bush and a Republican Congress doubled the national debt. If you had told me in the 1990s that the next Republican president, who was a very conservative president, at least in many measures, that he, working with a Republican Congress, would double the national debt from $5 trillion to $10 trillion, I wouldn't have believed you. I doubt you would have believed that. But that's what happened, and Republicans forfeited the taxing issue, spending issue, debt issue, and so on. Now, eventually they can get that back. And to the extent that they can stress fiscal issues, I think they're going to be in a much stronger position than they are in stressing social issues. Now, I'm talking about abortion, gay rights, immigration, issues like that. They may superficially appear to be a winner in a particular year, in a particular race, but on the whole, they turn off these big new groups of voters, the graduate educated population that's turned so heavily against the Republicans, at once very Republican, now heavily Democratic. Young people, all of those social issues turn them off big time. They associate Republicans with fundamentalist preachers, and obviously they don't like being preached to about those social issues. Racial minority groups, I think, have been turned off by the immigration issue. So the social issues have turned out to be big losers in most elections for Republicans. The fiscal issues, over time, can help Republicans to come back, but they have to earn their way back. They have a lot to live down from the Bush years.
We're talking with Larry Sabato, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Check him out online at larrysabato.com and get his most recent book, which is The Year of Obama. You mentioned at your talk last week at Alumni Hall that I heard that you described that a lot of people see the Republican Party today as like a church that is busy excommunicating heretics.
Yeah, well, there are many Republicans who believe that that's the case. Look, you always, if your party, particularly in a very diverse society like America, you have got to be in the business of making converts, because the big swing group is the independents. They don't believe in either party. In order to win, you have to get a majority of those independents under most circumstances. And how do you do that? Well, you certainly don't do it by having your congregation spend its time not out there trying to convert other people, but pointing out members of the congregation who aren't pure enough and who need to be thrown out of the church. Democrats used to do that, you know, back in the 60s and 70s. They were the purists, and they were constantly rooting out the heretics in their church. Republicans benefited and became, for a while, the majority party. Now it's exactly the opposite. The Republicans are spending their energy finding those heretics in their church and throwing them out. Well, it's a formula for disaster if you're trying to win elections.
We're honored to have Larry Sabato on the program. Larry, you know, during the day I hang my hat at the Sorensen Institute. Very proud to do so. One of the central themes that we teach in all our programs is how to discuss politics in a civil fashion, how not to demonize somebody just because you disagree with them on political issues. Let me get your thoughts on that very issue today. We seem to be quite polarized as a nation, and we've been here before, but your observations on this topic.
Yes, and let me salute Sorensen and my good friend Bob Gibson, who heads it, and I'd like to thank Sorensen and the Center for Politics work together in trying to make civility a permanent part of the political dialogue, or at least define the political dialogue. And look, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having vigorous discussions about politics. In fact, you want that. You want to get people interested, and you do that by sharply defining the issues and pointing out the stakes. All that's great as long as it's centered on policy. I think all of us get really turned off when politics becomes personal and people use invective and they go after people. And look, we've all seen it. I mean, it plays out on cable TV, it plays out in newspapers and letters to the editor, it plays out in emails and all the kinds of things that you see, some of the blogs, not all of them, but some of them. And it's just misplaced. Have a good, vigorous discussion about the issues. Look, we had one today. We had kind of a thrill a knot in Manila, or dueling banjos between Barack Obama and Dick Cheney on national security issues, back-to-back speeches in a way that you rarely see in this country. It really reminded me, in a way, of the House of Commons in Great Britain. You had the President of the United States and the former Vice President of the United States laying out in a very comprehensive and interesting way their views on, you know, Guantanamo, terrorism, national security, all the cluster of issues surrounding that. And look, whether you agree with one side or the other, or you agree with a bit of both, it was a great way to approach a really important issue. So I'd like to see a lot more of that. I think most people would.
Larry Sabato, America's preeminent political scientist. You can learn more online, a great website, LarrySabato.com. Check out his new book, The Year of Obama. Larry, as always, it's a great honor to have you on the program. Thank you so much.
I enjoyed it a lot, Coy. Take care.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.